刘文正先生，来，给我鼓掌。
Okay, now let's get serious back again. Welcome to Austria. That belongs together. Some of you know people from abroad, probably not. I'm talking about the Radzilla, which is a separate radiance version, being around already since quite some time. I know you're all waiting for the coffee break, so this talk will be more relaxing, it's more hands-on, not so much scientific as the other ones. I see a lot of old farts here in the audience who know me already. There are also several who don't know me yet. I start with a little introduction on how things evolved in the course of time and then put some spotlight on the latest date. Of course, in a short presentation, there's no time to cover the whole project in detail. So it will be just a snapshot of some selected topics, which are, of course, quite important, and also which are currently some sort of hanging point and is not yet fully accomplished. For the introduction, so I started working with Radiant and programming stuff for Radiant at the same time, around 2000, 2001. This is one of, not the first, but one of my first images. Some stuff here is also based on primitives, which I added to the original code, so this is already some deviation from original Radiance, but still much is original. As I said, 2000, I started to, directly after that big project, I implemented the idea of the direct cache, which is some sort of radiosity approximation for standard scenes where you don't have much redirection stuff, not much specular stuff which contributes. Which is the case in usual lighting scenes, then you can speed up things considerably. 2004, I then started this Radzilla project. I think the name came from one discussion in an email group at that time, so I adopted it. At that time, I also began to port Radiance code to the C++ operate programming language, which is a bit more a software issue, so I don't go much in detail on that yet. From my point of view, it supported a bit more laziness, convenience in programming, and by still giving you the access to the machine power, which is always a thing in software development. Either you have it convenient and easily to oversee, then it takes resources away from the pure calculation power, and vice versa. This is another image I made already when I was at Relux. It is a trade fair from the Frankfurt Light and Building scene, a discussion forum scene. Most of the work, most of the development in Radzilla went on or proceeded during my time at Relux. Those who are engaged in normal lighting probably know Relux, the general lighting simulation software, which mostly aims at artificial lighting simulation for all kinds of stuff, workshops, mechanical stuff, story, outdoor lighting, decorative lighting, and of course office and building. One big point in that part was the new luminaire model to have a feature in the program to simulate stuff like that, which is hanging here on the ceiling, where you have a geometry whose contribution, whose effect is already included in the LDC, in the lighting distribution curve. Original Radiance had, with original Radiance, you had to do some workarounds, put some faster geometries around it and all. This luminaire model is quite, has evolved quite considerably because the manufacturers always come up with quite funny ideas of how combining the geometry and that anchor the LDC in the geometry, and sometimes they invent something which is physically not real but gives in the end the output on the surface counts. So we always have to put all the ideas into the model as if we are the service providers we have to make a model which can deal with all the stuff coming from the companies. And many other mods and devs I made on in the program was there, of course, aimed at the artificial lighting industry. So it's way off from the daylight scene, and as I showed the sustainability scene here, and David probably can confirm it, if you go on the world's greatest lighting trade fair, lighting building in Frankfurt, which happened, took place over 2 years from 2000 on. It was a drop during the virus. Unfortunately, you have to admit it, daylight plays no role at all at that trade fair. It's only artificial lighting. In a certain way, in our community here, we are the bad guys. We are using electrical energy for lighting. Afterwards, there were two smaller projects. I integrated the first BSDF support, which Radiance provided via the MK-ILM. I don't know if 4.1 is true, 4.0 or 4.1, I don't know. There was a first, before the general BSDF support came, there was a first pre-version via MK-ILM. This didn't go off in a business way because the manufacturing companies didn't want to take part in the in financing stuff. I mean, Relux as a company has to earn money, and the model of Relux is to do in a manufacturer, they finance it with membership fees, and conveying this business model also to other companies, to other parts of the industry, for example, blind manufacturers. CFS manufacturers didn't work out. So another smaller project was when Relux Valdez was a little tool for HDR image mixing, where you can do interactive scenes. In this case, it was also quite a bit of business failure, but because here the clients, lighting planners, didn't want to pay some money for an extra lighting scene. After that time, around 2013, I started thinking about something new. Before that, the whole handling within the program was still a bit awkward. You know, model your geometry, model again and again, and then open a dialog, start a calculation, and wait for the results, and see if that was convincing. Go back to your model again, and this whole business, although there is still much convenience in the GUI, there's the command line. This whole business still was a bit awkward, so I thought of making something more interactive. That will be a bit of focus on the rest of the presentation. In connection to that, I also provided a new way of parallel processing. I use external libraries for it. In this guy, I use Intel TWB, which provides quite convenient basic features for doing shared processing. Of course, currently it's only multi-core based, so no GPU processing yet. Shortly, I had an intermezzo where I, for 3 years, around 2015 and 16, I worked with Classic Radiance again at the University of Lucerne. And around 2019, the first Rosetta interactive ray tracer went online and public in a Relux release. But there was still one part, the indirect lighting was still missing in that feature, unfortunately. And afterwards, there was a longer pause in development. Life doesn't move on a straight line. I think everybody of you knows that by him or herself. There were many personal reasons. You might also say my... Oh, thank you. My connection to Radiance is a bit of on and off relationship, so there were already phases where I engaged in many other activities of life. So that was it for the introduction. Now, interactive ray tracer, the latest ideas, what I had in mind, written here on the key features, it should be interactive. should be convenient, the work should be convenient for the people, and of course it would be quick. So, but you can't have speed without paying something for it, so you have reduced quality. But the idea was to have a quick feedback, then users can decide is this going into the right direction or not, and work with it. And when they agreed, okay, this is the right direction, then still have the opportunity to run a fully accurate background calculation. And of course, it always has to run on Linux and Windows. Linux only runs on Windows. So there's always this dual code base or a single code base that has to work on two operating systems. Here, I will stop shortly and show what this is all about. So this is a typical scene in the Redux program. It's a demo scene, a simple office scene. I already have done the preparation. But you need some initializing. And now, with the interactive ray tracer, you can just work in that scene like you normally do with the geometry. So for example, if you want to say, oh, this desk here is disturbing me, then you just move it away, you move also, and you get an immediate recalculation. Now I grabbed the wrong thing, and now I moved it out of the room, so you don't see it anymore. You can, of course, also look at the luminaires. I'm going to have it here. Let's take this one for example, and you can do some dimming, say, and have yellow color coming out of it. And one point is that the calculation is split up. I make a difference first. Of course, in artificial lighting, the first, or the important stuff is always the direct component. The manufacturers want to see the effect of their luminaires. Then you have, of course, indirect component. And for visual appearance, I mean, you're talking about scenes without BSDF. You're talking scenes without CFS and redirection stuff. Specular reflections are like an add-on, which is necessary for visual appearance. Not necessary, not mostly not necessary for the lighting values on scenes, or you can also split the calculation and take specular reflections away, then you have only direct, which then of course goes much quicker, and then if you finish that, you can add specular reflection again. You have not much specularity, that mostly is not in the window pane. So this was enough for the presentation. I just wanted to show you how the thing works in practice, what we are talking about. I mean, Greg probably can type four row R config command line at the same speed as a typical Redux user drags and drops a room in there, but the typical Redux user isn't right. So this convenience issue is quite important in everyday life. So going back to the presentation. What you need for all that, of course, is a very comprehensive interface. All that commands and data has to be transferred between the core and the GUI. And you all have to change, make a lot of bureaucracy, make a lot of overhead to accept and process all the edit actions. If you, for example, change a material, then all the objects carrying this material must know about it. So you have to transfer this information. You need structures to process that. Also, it proved good to incorporate everything into one program instead of the Radiance multi-module architecture. So I have an all-inclusive approach. My RZ pick incorporates everything because I need to, for example, also recalculate the octree again. And I haven't shown it here because it's not in the official Redux interface, of course, interactive ray tracer also possible to use it with data itself. Make interactive MKIllum use source generation if you change the window gap geometry, for example, all that. And then it's easier, of course, also in version management, and you put out a new version to the public if you only have one program which contains all. Then you have the internal data caching, of course, when you process an image in several steps, direct, ambient, add-on specularity on top of it. You need, of course, caching structures not to recalculate everything. As I saw some of the presentations, especially I think that Rachel was awesome, I might have the idea that some basic thinking is the same, or even Holodeck. I cache something, I cache information about points, directions, geometry norms, and all that. Not necessarily full ways, but in a certain way, there is some similarity behind the basic ideas behind. Of course, everything here is on a much more low level. It's not that sophisticated. And the last part is now the key point for interactive simulation. This is a change that is necessary in the original radiance ambient cache algorithm to make things more interactive. This here is a short intermezzo. I have talked a lot about separating the image into several parts. Of course, when light comes, either from sun or luminaire, you have to reflect, bounces off in the room. In an exact sense, you cannot really separate it. But if you're willing to do some approximation, if you're willing to pay some, willing to content yourself with a bit reduced accuracy and omit some stuff, then you can do an approximate separation of the image. I mean, you don't have much time, so I don't go too much into detail here, but you just can think, for example, beaming space opaque objects. You have a direct light on the base object, and in the view, it's transparent, you have a glass pane in your view, then of course the contribution of the base is multiplied by the transmission coefficient. You also have the possibility to have dust on the glass, and so radiance trance material. So here, in your view, you can have transparency, but also a diffuse component which adds on it. And of course, the dust on the glass can get illuminated by direct light, and it gets illuminated by ambient light. So you can have this separation here. And if you go on and step through the calculation, and you see how you can, at least for a limited scene with only one specularization, and especially if you have neglect CFS and redirection stuff, if you don't have that in your scene, then you can sort out contributions and really make an image starting with direct light only, add on ambient light, and then add on specular reflections on top of it. So if anyone is interested, you might step through that formula. I better go on here. And now I come to the key point, which needs a very comprehensive modification. This is the ambient light mechanism in radiance. Here I show the basics of the classic radiance ambient calculation. We start out with one, send out ambient rays. These hit points where they send out second bound ambient rays, and then the other points where they send out third bound ambient rays. And from that on, the third bound starts to fill. This one, so the cache fills from behind. Work proceeds. I mean, here the red values are the ones still processed, the greens are the finished. After you have the first finished version in the level, the next one is performed. And you might have the chance to reuse one if you're hitting in the vicinity or not. But you can imagine the cache works in the depth, and nothing comes out here. And so this is, I think every one of you has noticed it when you start a radiance simulation with high ambient parameters. Progress at the beginning is quite slow, and as soon as the cache has filled from the bottom up, then sometimes at some point the thing blasts off. But for an interactive use, you want, of course, a quicker result immediately, even if it's less accurate. So I try to invert the whole business. I start with only one bounce. If you have paid attention, then there are fewer ways than in the first example. There's a reason for it. Only do first one bounce ambient calculation throughout the scene. And then you have this ready, so the values are green, then you can produce an image already and put it out to the user. With only one bounce, but you can give the first result. And in the next step, I go again to that point, and here we come again to the caching idea. I step again through the business and send out further ways. These are the red ones here. And these further ways then trigger the second bounce. And as I have a scene full of first bounce values, the chances are higher that I can reuse them for the second bounce. Right. The chances to reuse information is much higher than in the original approach. But of course, you can imagine making this 5, 6, 7 bounces will be very difficult. But as I said, the idea should be providing a quick and dirty preview. So for 2 or maximally 3 bounces, I think the thing is manageable. I think I have established the mechanism for 2 bounces. It works. But this is not, unfortunately, not the only point. The next point, which is also important, is if you have the values, and of course you have values, think of a quick preview with lower accuracy, then you send out fewer ways, have a higher geometrical distance between the points. And I try to make this here and have a calculation with ambient parameters. And as soon as you do lower the parameters, then you see the effect results will become less nice. But for the overall appearance, it would be still okay if you find just another way to gloss over the thing a bit. But you all know probably the saying, if you can't beat them, join them. So I say, if you can't make it look good, better not show it at all. So try to interpolate over it. But interpolating is other data structures for providing, making an easier interpolation. For example, I did this comparison. Classical radiosity grid, of course, uses hash-based data storage, and then it's easier to interpolate and provide a smoother average result. And this is still a task which has to be accomplished to organize the quite unordered, chaotic ambient points into some data structure which is mesh-based. It doesn't necessarily have to be geometry-dependent. The radiosity stuff is always geometry-dependent. The good thing of radiance ambient cache is that it's geometry-independent. But keeping this independency is always difficult, but not sure if I will make it or not, so this is still, everyone may be probably come up with an idea or whatever. It may come out, I will manage it or not, can't guarantee it yet. So this was it. Any questions? No? Good.